Hey, everybody. It's the Goots Cast. Hey, it's a 20-year anniversary of WCW going to business. And I'm wearing the Hollywood Hogan shirt to commemorate. Dude, I think the business never recovered from today. I think it just recently recovered from today. I gotta be honest.
I remember my friend making the argument that he said that WCW going out of business was the worst thing to happen to the wrestling in history. Worst thing to happen to wrestling.
I think it's worse than Owen or Chris Benoit. I think it had such an effect on everything.
Really? I don't think it's the worst thing that happened in wrestling. And
just because wrestling wasn't good, like there wasn't any really good alternatives. Like I don't think the scene, the outside WWE scene, didn't recover until like 2014, 2015.
But it wasn't the worst thing that happened in wrestling.
Yeah, dude, a lot of people lost jobs. A lot of wrestlers didn't get work. I mean, like, you know, like, fucking back in the day, if WCW was still around the mid-2000s,
Chris Benoit killing his family was probably the worst thing that happened in wrestling.
Well, I mean, it didn't really affect anyone's job. I mean, no one lost their job besides, you know.
No, but it did affect a lot of people's job because affected it in, I guess, in a positive way where they got rid of the...
Yeah, they got CTE, so that's nice. They got testing. But, I watched that documentary, Barbed Wire City, because remember, WCW and ECW kind of shut down at the same time. And, like, those guys, like, a lot of those guys just went lost. Like, they lost their minds, a lot of these guys, when those two companies went under. Because that was it. They didn't, nothing, there was nothing else for them. And it affected, the reason why I say it's bad, I think Owen Hart dying was a tragedy. Chris Benoit killing his family was a tragedy. But fucking, you know, I'm trying to think of a loser. Val Venus still had a job the day after fucking Chris Benoit's kid was dead. You know, he didn't suddenly lose his job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, he lost his job a year later, but that's a whole other story.
I recently sold a Val Venus action figure for $30. So I mean,
we can make more money than he is. So. Yeah. All right, guys. Sorry we're around this week. Tonight we're covering SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT UK, and NWA Power. I'm paying $5 a month for this shitty show. We're fucking talking about it. Let's jump right into SmackDown, though.
Okay. SmackDown starts off with Daniel Bryan. He's coming out giving a promo about Roman Reigns, what happened to him at Fastlane, which was just a couple of days ago. And he wants a rematch. And then Adam Pearce comes out. And Daniel Bryan goes, here, I have an idea. He said, how about we do the whole New Japan thing? Roman Reigns.
He said
Edge.
That.
Yeah. Roman Reigns and Edge. Night one, winner faces me on night two. Edge comes out. He doesn't like this. And they start fighting. And Edge goes full heel, hits him with a chair. Then we come back from commercial break, and Roman Reigns is sitting in the back with Uso. And he's like, Paul Heyman, get me. Adam Pearce, use force if you have to. typical SmackDown beginning. I didn't like it.
I have a big problem with this because, first of all, if the crowds were still around and the crowds were, like, behind Daniel Bryan, I could get this story. But Edge does have a point. Dude, he was in the Royal Rumble from 1 to 30 and won. He won the fucking Royal Rumble. You can't take that away from him.
Yes.
And then he, like, said, and then he chose Roman Reigns. He followed all the rules that they set. Why does Daniel Bryan get to be in the match? Like, because he feels like it? Like, I don't, like, and I know he got screwed at Fastlane, but it's like, they needed a better reason to get Daniel Bryan in this match.
Isn't the, you know, in the 2000s and the 2000s, didn't, like, I remember the Big Show, he, like, was saying something about, like, The Rock. Like, Rock was getting an opportunity. He had the belt, and he was like, dude, how is he getting that? That's not fair. Like, is like,
well, Big Show, technically Big Show won the 2000 Royal Rumble because and Big Show had a case, and then Big Show had the right to turn heel when he didn't get his way.
No, but that's what it was. Even though he was technically right, the fans were still booing him anyway. Remember?
Yeah, but nobody's booing Edge right now because nobody's in the building.
No, but what I'm saying is, even if they were fans, they would be booing him anyway.
Well, I think so, dude. I heard Vince just thinks Edge looks too old, and that's why he's putting Daniel Bryan in the match.
He does. He came out with, like, gray hair, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they signed this fucking guy. You know, I think Vince wishes he let him go to AEW.
Yeah, I think he probably has buyer's remorse.
Yeah, because, but like nobody forced you to have win the Rumble. Like I would have just been content with Edge versus AJ Styles or Edge versus Seth Rollins. He didn't need to win the Royal Rumble.
Nobody forced you to sign him again.
But even if you signed him, you can still use him. But there was no reason. Like, what about Edge versus The Fiend versus Randy Orton? There was a lot of different things you could have done with this fucking guy than put him in this fucking main event match. You're the one who put him in this.
This is just further proof that Junior's just,
doesn't have it. Let's give Edge credit. He did last over an hour in the ring with everyone, and he didn't look bad in that match. So
no, he didn't look bad. I don't think Royal Rumble should count, though, because you
have you have a lot of ways to camouflage. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a lot of.
You know, he can sit in the corner and rest while the camera's on Bad Bunny jumping around.
Yeah, yeah. You have
all the other stuff.
There's a lot of downtime, so I never like.
The referee could say to them, "Okay," like the ref outside could say, "Like, oh, the camera's off you," and Edge could just like lean in the corner and take a nap.
Whenever they talk about like he spent this much time in the Royal Rumble, I was never impressed.
But he still looked good. He still looked good in the match.
No, he still looked good. First matchup. We got Seth Rollins and Nakamura, return match for Fastlane. So in case you spent money on Fastlane, they wanted you to feel like an idiot and know that just 5 days later you would have got it for free anyway. Seth Rollins wins with a stomp. This match was, I would say, on par with their.
I liked Fastlane it.
Match. Yeah, it's on par with the Fastlane match. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, Seth Rollins beats on him some more. Cesaro comes out to make a save, and they start fighting. Seth Rollins runs away. The only thing about this that I didn't like was that it was a rematch from Fastlane. It's like, what is the point of you buying the pay-per-view?
Well, they should have Cesaro run out at Fastlane.
Yeah, it's stupid. This is typical WWE booking. You know, the same match over and over again. But it was a nice match. Adam Pearce is with Roman Reigns, and Pierce is like, just like every other time we have this decision-making episode, I'm going to make the decision at the end of the episode. Seth Rollins is mad, and he challenges Cesaro to a match at WrestleMania. Cesaro accepts. He swings him. They will be on WrestleMania night one on Saturday. Yeah. We go to match number two. It is Street Profits and Big E versus Alpha Academy and Apollo Crews. Even though I was not for this Otis heel turn, they're working well as a tag team. They did this great combo, like suplex clothesline. You see that? That was a great move they did.
Yeah.
Apollo Crews hits the ankle slam on Big E for the win. These guys, even though we just saw them have a match at Fastlane, Big E and Apollo Crews will be wrestling again at WrestleMania. But this was a good match. I like this match. This match was good.
I still hate Otis as a heel. I don't like it. But, yeah, it was a good match.
Yeah. I think this might have been the best match on SmackDown tonight.
It was good. The matches were good tonight on SmackDown. Except for a few that weren't. But this was good.
Edge confronts Adam Pearce, and he's like, dude, Daniel Bryan should, like, I hope you're not, like, I hope you make the right decision. Daniel Bryan shouldn't be a part of this at all. And he's like, we gotta wait till the end of the show for me to make the decision. Kevin Owens' show, Sami Zayn's there, and Sami Zayn's like, Logan Paul, YouTube star, is gonna be here next week. And Kevin Owens is like, fight me at WrestleMania. And Sami Zayn's like, okay. And then they start fighting. We're getting this.
I fucking hated this segment. Dude, you know that Logan Paul guy's a scumbag. Like, he's a real piece of shit. Like, he's a legit piece of shit.
Didn't he have sex with, like, underage girls?
No, that'd probably be next. No, he went to the Japanese suicide forest and he found the girl that committed suicide and was just started laughing at her. The girl was hanging in the forest.
This is the guy who did that.
He tortured like a rat to death on his YouTube channel. Yeah, he's like a real piece of shit. He's like a real like scumbag.
Oh, so he's right real up in your alley.
Yeah, but like he's not a wrestler, and I'm kind of like I'm really surprised Sami Zayn agreed to this. I thought Sami Zayn would have a little bit more. He seems like a very moral guy. I'd be like, I'm not working with this kid. But
I don't think Sami Zayn really knows who Logan Paul is,
dude. Yeah, I just when they were like Logan Paul and like. I think it's a really scum. It's one look. It's one thing if I'll even say this. I would understand Chase and Rance over this guy because Chase and Rance is like one of the boys, and like, you know, they I don't think really anyone in the industry gives a fuck that Chase and Rance did what he did to little kids. But like fucking this is like, you don't really need this fucking guy, dude. This guy is gonna add nothing to SmackDown. And I just think it makes them look like fucking shitbags. Like, there's a ton of YouTubers you could have used instead of him. You know, you could have used the Angry Video Game Nerd. You know what I'm saying?
How is this guy famous though?
He makes horrible YouTube videos.
He's a YouTuber. What kind of videos?
I watched them, dude. It's literally him bragging about how much money he has.
Oh, okay. I only know him from the fact that people always say he's a YouTube star and that he had a boxing match. That's the only thing I
know. No, his brother is boxing. His brother's boxing. Who's also a YouTube star. He started doing prank videos. He was doing prank videos. And one of them was he went into a fucking suicide forest and tried to see if he could find anyone who committed suicide. And when he did, he like laughed at them. That was supposed to be like comedy. He's a scumbag.
Yeah. But I'm saying, if I didn't really know who he was, except for the fact he's just a YouTube star, maybe Sami Zayn also just doesn't really know about this guy. Just know.
Well, I think people were tweeting at Sami Zayn tonight.
So I think now he's finding out. Yeah, I think now he's finding out.
I just wouldn't. If I was Sami Zayn, I would be like, I'm not. Like, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to put my character with this guy. Unless they get to beat the shit out of him and they stiff him for real, because I would stiff this guy for real. Yeah. Then that's different. Like, if Kevin Owens gets to power bomb him and fucking hurt his neck, that's different.
Or if they go like, Sammy, you are a heel, so you're supposed to.
You know, Umaga was told to hit the Jackass guys for real. You ever see that angle where Umaga?
Yeah, he did hit them for real.
Well, they laughed, and then Umaga then hit them harder.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they stopped laughing.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was awesome. I wish he just kept hitting him.
I wish he would. I hope they do that to Logan Paul. I fucking hate that guy. But you know what? We're not watching next week because I have a comedy show. So good. I'm glad I'm not giving any ratings to this.
Oh, I got to talk to you about like next week. Later. So Pierce is with Daniel Bryan. He talks some more about what's going to happen. Then Bianca Belair is getting interviewed about the slap. She got slapped by Sasha Banks on Sunday at Fastlane and she didn't retaliate. And then Belair, she was all over the place. She mentioned Mary had a little lamb. I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, they dropped the ball with this storyline. So
what does that mean? Why did she mention Mary had a little lamb?
Because some writer gave it to her and she just said it. And then she probably like, why the fuck did they say that?
Yeah, it was just really weird. It was like, oh, you know what? About the slap, you'll see what happens. Mary had a little lamb. And I was just like, what? It was so weird. Match number 3, Bianca Belair versus Natalya. Sasha Banks comes out on commentary. She is a full heel now. Belair goes outside the ring, slaps Sasha Banks, goes back into the ring, and hits the KOD and Natalya for the clean victory afterwards. Sasha Banks beats up Belair. This was an okay match. It was all right.
Yeah, it kind of bored me. This match bored me, to be honest with you.
I am no longer interested in seeing this fight.
No, me neither. Yeah.
What happened?
It just, Sasha Banks can't cut a promo. You know what? Like, when they win the Royal Rumble, you've got to have a storyline. Like, I think it would have been better if Sasha and Bayley never fought and Sasha won the Royal Rumble and then finally did Sasha Bayley at WrestleMania, because then Sasha has this months long storyline. I've been trying to get to Bayley and now I can finally get to her. When Becky won, it was exciting because Becky now was going to get to Ronda Rousey, who she couldn't get to in November. It was a built-in storyline. But when it's just like, I'm going to challenge you, and then all of a sudden they have to like find a way to get these two people not to like each other. Oh, it's never good.
Because I remember like at Royal Rumble when Belair won, I was like, I'm excited to see Belair versus Banks. And now I'm like, I don't give a shit. It's going to be on night one. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't really care at all. It's insane. It's insane how much that changes in like 3 months. They just took away all my desire to watch this match.
Dude, they took all my desire for most of this fucking event. So
yeah. Edge confronts Roman Reigns and his whole tribe. And he goes, dude, Daniel Bryan's trying to steal our spotlight from WrestleMania. And we've seen him steal spotlights before. I'm trying to do it again. That's a good point, Edge. Match number four, Rey Mysterio versus Dolph Ziggler. There's a point where Dolph Ziggler just throws Rey, like,
yeah,
dude, he throws him over the barricade onto the floor like a powerbomb. And earlier when he first started working with Thunderdome, this was like a match stopping move. Remember when he would do this and they'd be like, stop the match. And
Now it's like,
whatever. Not anymore. It's just, you come back from commercial break, they're still wrestling. In fact, Ray powers back and hits a splash and he beats Dolph Ziggler. And during this match, though, they did a little inset promo where Ray is going to be challenging, basically, the Dirty Dogs with his son, Dominic, because he wants to do a father and son tag team champions.
Is this going to be a WrestleMania?
I think that I'm pretty sure it's going to be a WrestleMania match. Dude, it's two nights. You got to fill up like so.
They should have all four guys deserve a WrestleMania match. And I hope Rey Mysterio and his son wins. That'll be nice.
Yeah, but it also makes Rey look really fucking old.
He's old. His son's old as fuck. And dude, if his son's going to get into wrestling, he has to get into it now. I mean, you want the son to wait till he's like 37 so Rey doesn't look old.
Yeah.
No, he's old.
Right. Yeah, he's
the kid's got to get into it now if he's going to have a fucking career. You can't. If he waits, they're going to be like, you waited too long. He's got to get into
it. Yeah, no, you're right. All right, so then we're the final moment of the show. Adam Pearce comes out, Roman Reigns comes out, Edge comes out, Daniel Bryan comes out, and they're like, well, Adam Pearce, what's your decision? Adam Pearce goes, I've made a decision that I know all the viewers at home has already knew this was going to happen, but it's going to be a triple threat match between all three of you guys at WrestleMania. It took them 6 minutes to tell us this. The segment was so fucking long. Not a good commercial.
Yeah, this took way too long, and I didn't enjoy any of this, and I think I know why. It's because, and I don't go to the site, but it was all over. That literally, do you remember we were doing the post show, and Dave Meltzer reported that it was going to be a triple threat match?
Yeah, but I think I knew that without Meltzer's help. It's
no, clear. You knew because everyone on the internet was talking about it. Because he reported it that night.
I guess I knew because everybody in the internet was talking about it. I will give you that.
I don't know. So they did this at TLC for Charlotte. They did it at the night of the Royal Rumble. Like, oh, Edge is gonna challenge Roman. And now they're doing it with this. First of all, that's cool that someone's giving you this huge info. Like, apparently someone in Vince's Inner Circle calls Dave Meltzer right away. It's like, this is what we're going to do. But why my thing with Dave Meltzer? All right. So I get a call. This is what I'm going to say. I get a call Sunday night. You know what? It's going to be a triple threat. Vince, da-da-da. We're going to do that on SmackDown. I would wait, just put it in my newsletter. Why do you, I think, you know, you put it on the front page of the website and then everyone spoils it. And it's like, that's not news because this is a scripted show. Like, it's one thing if it's a Super Bowl, right? And they're going to change the rules of the Super Bowl for some insane reason. That's one thing all the sports reporters need to report on right away, right? Hey, this year the Super Bowls will be. But this is a fucking scripted show. So, like, watching this show, if you're, like, on Twitter, if you're even a casual fan on Twitter, you already know they're going to do this because he got the word out. It's like, why would you spoil these storylines? Because then these writers, you're already, because everyone knows that this is what you're going to do. So it's like you're kind of just wasting everyone's time building suspense to what you're actually going to do. You get my point? It's like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like, but he won't do this for AEW.
No, because he needs them to succeed.
But it's just like, dude, like this doesn't add any, like you're spoiling like things like this. And it's like, can you just wait? Like this isn't like big news, or just put in the newsletter so people get the newsletter, see it. And then it's going to get out anyway, but like, it won't get out the way, you know, he put out on the front page of his fucking website. The O'Brien's going to be added to the match. Like, it's free. It's just there, you know?
Yeah. Well, they end up all fighting, and Edge snaps, and he starts beating up everybody with a chair.
I like Edge becoming heel. He's much better as a heel.
Yeah. Edge is much better as a heel. He's always been much better as a heel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. Not the worst SmackDown. Not the worst.
Not the worst. I'm not that excited about this main event match. I thought I'd be more excited that Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns are going to be in the main event WrestleMania.
So this episode of SmackDown did a good job building up matches for WrestleMania.
They had no time, so they had to do it ASAP.
Yeah, the only problem is it's WrestleMania is so boring that it made this show boring.
Yeah.
You know? It's like...
Yeah. Dude, I really, like I said, like, I can't believe I'm not interested in this match. Like, 5 years ago, I would have been so pumped for this match.
I can't believe I'm so not interested in WrestleMania.
But we're still going to cover it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really not. I can't think of a single match I'm excited to see. There's not one WrestleMania.
No. I think Seth Rollins and Cesaro is going to steal the show.
I feel like I've seen this match.
Yeah, but now, like, they're actually going to try. We'll see.
Yeah. All right, 205 Live. Daivari and Tony Nese versus the Bollywood Boys. One thing about this match that I like is the commentary, because whenever Daivari is doing his like frog splash, Vic Joseph always calls it the Persian splash, and Nigel McGuinness always calls it the Persian lion splash. I don't know if you got that. They always call it two different things. It's really interesting. He hits the hammerlock lariat on Sunil. This was a good match, though. I actually like this match. It's pretty good.
Dude, I'm just seeing a variation of the same fucking match every week, and there's no storyline, and there's no advancement. I'm just so tired. Like, at this point, too, dude, there's no discussion of this show on Reddit anymore. I go a few message boards. No, they used to live. This show is treated as like the second half of the night, mm-hmm. and no one even watches it anymore. Nobody. Like, yeah. Even on Twitter, I follow the hashtag, or mm-hmm. people are tweeting about it. Like, nobody's. It's like watching four people just stand in quicksand. Like, they're not doing any. Like, these guys are just wasting their years.
That's true, but it was a good match. It really.
Yeah, but like, it's not leading to anything. These guys have been having good matches, dude, for 5 years. You know, if this show makes it to November, which I don't think is going to happen. Tony Nese and these other three fucking losers are going to be on this show for 5 years doing this shit. 5 years, dude. Austin wasn't even in WWE. 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. Yeah, Austin's career in WWE was 5 years.
Yeah, these guys are all, and 205 originals too. Like Bollywood, yeah. They're all 205 originals. Yeah. They do a recap of the Cruiserweight matchup on NXT, how they're going to make it a ladder match between
that was cool. Jordan
Michael Devlin. Yeah, you know what was really good? So Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar are facing off both with their Cruiserweight titles. Shawn Michaels' music hits. He comes out, doesn't say anything, doesn't get in the microphone. You know why? Because he knows this is not about him. Mm-hmm. All he does is silently take out a ladder, and put it into the ring, and walks away. And they're going to have a ladder match. I thought that was very well done. And mm-hmm. I will say this is a match I am actually looking forward to.
Well,
and
the only thing is, Jordan Devlin's expression in the matchup screen has his tongue out. He looks like he's like having a stroke. Why is that the picture using Jordan Devlin? He looks like a fucking idiot.
I don't know if they want him to win.
Well, I wouldn't want him to win. Santos Escobar is what everyone thinks Andrade was or is. This guy is the total package.
Andrade, there was a before he was Andrade, he was actually one of my favorite luchadors when he was La Sombra.
No, he's still a great wrestler, but he's just, I think Santos Escobar is that much better.
That's possible. People have to understand there's a, you know, that whole stable that's really big in Japan. He started that stable.
Yeah.
You know, so
dude, by the way,
Naito being Tranquilo, that whole gimmick, that was all created by Andrade.
Yeah.
That was like Naito is his version of him.
Yeah.
You know, in Japan. So you people have to understand, Andrade is very talented and he's very charismatic. They just didn't use him well.
But by the way, I do think it was a total miss from Tony Khan to not have Andrade on AEW this week. He's the guy you rush to sign. Not Big Show or Christian. He's the guy.
Did they show up on ROH tonight?
I don't think No. You know who did show up, and I feel bad, is Dan Barry's tag partner.
Who's Dan Barry? You know,
talking about Dutch something?
Dutch Barry?
No, Dan Barry is Andrade. I'm looking.
Andrade, you know, if there's no reports on it, that means he didn't show up.
I'm just looking real quick.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Yeah, I guess not.
No, you would have saw.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, he didn't show up. No one. Yeah. Yeah. But I just think Tony, like, look. I just feel like a lot of moves Tony Khan's doing are Dixie Carter moves. You don't need Christian. You need Andrade. You don't need Christian. You really don't.
Oh, dude. AEW reminds me so much of Impact right now. Yeah, 100%.
Dude, by the way, before we cover the last segment of 205 Live, so apparently the ratings of Impact this week were in the fucking toilet. We texted about this, but the worst ratings they've had in you. They've lost so many viewers. Mm-hmm. This storyline, which me and you in December thought this could be the turning of the tide for both companies, has completely ruined Impact Wrestling.
Well, we're not exactly wrong when we say it was the turning of the tide.
Yeah. It's
just the wrong way, just the wrong direction.
I don't know why Scott D'Amore agreed to any of this. It has made the company look like fucking jerk-offs and idiots. They have constantly been put down by AEW. They have not done anything in retaliation. They have not stood up for themselves. Tony Khan has gone on week after week to promote his show and to remind you of how shitty Impact is. And they're just like, yeah. And they just keep – and it's like, you know, if you – so Vince McMahon came on Nitro. Let's say they let Vince McMahon come on Nitro, right? And every week Vince McMahon just got to tell you how shitty fucking WCW was. And they never said anything on WCW. Guess what people would have done? Yeah, you know what? WCW does fucking suck. I should just watch WWE. Like, he's right. This show's garbage. Like, it's not well produced. It's like, why would you do this? And the fact that they didn't... TNA has not come back at AEW once. And I know you're saying... I know, like, you think it's, like, this long-term build or whatever. But, bro, it's been 4 fucking months.
Yeah.
Like, they should have came back 3 weeks in.
Yeah. I remember... I think it is because Tommy Dreamer's been mentioning it, but I mean, doesn't necessarily mean that I think they're doing it right. I just think
I don't think it's ever coming where Impact retaliates or like invades. They don't mention Impact and AEW. They should be mentioning that Kenny Omega is challenging Rich Swann.
No, they only mention Impact when they're shitting on him.
Yes.
Like Impact must have paid for the ring, the exploding ring. Remember?
Yeah. They just like kind of like a very offhand like shitting on Impact, and it's like, why would you agree to this deal? All this deal did, like, to me. So last summer I didn't really like AEW, but and I remember I think I said, like, to me Impact's still number two. Like, fuck AEW, and even though I still like AEW, AEW is definitely number two. Like, you guys have fucking went out of your way to let all and it's such bullshit because you guys have history. You guys have a bigger history than WCW ever did. And you should be being like, yo, we're fucking number two. It doesn't matter about AEW. We are we are Impact, and we've been going since 2002. We fucking are survivors, man. And no, you're just basically being like, yeah, we suck. And it's like, well, then if you suck, why should I give you any money or watch your show?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. By the way, I saw some of the matches from Impact this week. Not worth watching it. If you didn't watch this week's Impact, you didn't miss anything, guys.
Did you see the promo they made to announce the switch to Thursday nights?
I saw a little bit of it. I just turned it off. It was just too goofy.
Dude, the promo is Eric Young. The draw, what's his name?
Sammy Callahan.
Deonna Peruzzo. Rich Swann. I said Eric Young and Eddie Edwards singing "We Are the Night." They're like singing it, but Deonna Peruzzo's not really singing it. She looks like she wants to kill herself. And then Scott D'Amore goes, "Guys, guys, doesn't any of you check your phones? We're moving to Thursdays." And fucking the draw Sami Callihan is like, but Scott, we own the night. And he goes, yeah, we do own the night. We own Thursday nights.
Oh my God.
And Deonna Purrazzo's like, we own Thursday nights? That's right. And then they all sing, we are the night. Like, I want to fuck. Dude, like, why do they? And then Scott, the fact that Scott D'Amore is most of the promo, like, why would you think people want to watch this?
Dude, I don't think they know what they're doing.
Dude, you know why? Because, like, and then Reddit, like, people are, someone's like, I just love the fact that Impact has embraced the fact that they're goofy and they suck and they're happy at being number three. And I'm like, why would you ever be happy? But dude, if you're happy your company's number three, shut your fucking company down. Like, just shut it down. Like, you're happy being number three. And it's just like, dude, they need to. I think when they go on Twitter, they just, like, go to positive fans. Like, oh, look, everybody like Wrestle House. They need to listen to people like us. Because we want you. Dude, I want you to I would love it if Impact drove AEW out of business. I know it's not going to happen, but I would fucking die laughing. I want you to succeed. I don't like AEW being around. So fucking listen to me. You're doing a horrible job.
Oh, my God. I think it's time to sell Impact, like, to Junior.
We need it on the network.
Just close it. Yeah, just close it. It's done.
Although Peacock will censor it now. You heard they're censoring content on Peacock.
Yeah, they're censoring a lot of stuff. Yeah. No, no half black Roddy Piper.
Yeah. What do you think about that? I think it's fucking bullshit.
I mean, is anybody actually surprised?
I know, but here's the deal. You pay, like, did you not investigate what you're paying for? Like, you're paying for. And the other thing about wrestling, like, some wrestling fans are like, no, this is good. It's like, dude, this is this fucking worst business in the world. Everyone's a scumbag. Ricochet hangs out with a child predator. Fucking, everyone's a fucking, this whole, like, oh, we got to be better. It's all bullshit. They're all fucking carnies. It is what it is. Roddy Piper.
Which is why I don't support them. And I don't support any of those people.
I know. Roddy Piper, when he did the half black thing, he wasn't doing it to be racist. He was trying to prove that we're all the same. It's just Roddy Piper's a weird fucking guy. Like, that's not a thing you censor. Like, it looks stupid, but, like, it's not. I don't think it was done in bad taste when he did it. I think he was trying to say to Bad News Brown, we're the same. Like, we're not. You don't like me because I'm, you know what I'm saying? You get my point?
I understand what you're saying, but it really doesn't matter what I think you and I feel about it. It's if it makes Black Americans are comfortable, then
I don't think most Black people give a shit.
I care about it.
I don't think most Black people cried when he died. No one was fucking like, oh yeah, but WrestleMania 6. Nobody said that. Nobody gave a shit.
You know, most Black people are like, who's Roddy Piper?
No, but like the Black, like, I don't, dude, I think most people that aren't on Twitter don't, like, if you ask like a Black guy, like, you're on Twitter, if you ask a Black guy who's like, oh, I love wrestling, you're like, do you care that this man said the N-word in the Survivor 2005 Survivor Series? No. Whatever, fuck you. Oh, I wish Roman Reigns, you know, like, they don't really care, dude. Like, most people don't give a shit about this.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. All right, let's finish this.
They better not end out the Wonton Loser.
I mean, what people have to understand, though, like, what did you think Peacock was going to do? I mean,
I know, but like, yeah. Peacock should, I just, this was like the worst deal they could have ever made.
Oh, absolutely. But that's their problem. That's their problem now.
So let's finish up 205 because we got two more.
WrestleMania shows. Peacock's the only place you can watch WrestleMania now.
They changed the only place you can stream, so you can still buy it as
traditional. Oh, so you can still buy it. Okay. All right. So match number two in 205, August Gray versus Adonis. There's a partner's match where they reveal how much of a Nigel Mark Vic Joseph is. He goes, oh, he took that from Nigel, that's from your playbook. And Nigel's like, oh, what, have you been watching videos of me at night? He goes, no, you just were a really good wrestler back then. Do you hear that when he was saying that? It was very cute. It's adorable. August Gray hits is so much prettier. Finisher move on Adonis for the win. Afterwards, Aria Davari comes out and raises August Gray's hand, which August Gray is having no part of it. So that means that storyline is continuing. Once again, this was not a bad match as well. It was just like wrestling matches.
There's no story. August Gray, nothing. Dude, August Gray could win matches. And August Gray could look at Mansoor. Mansoor should be getting the title shot against Roman Reigns.
If if you guys just like wrestling matches with just good wrestling matches, this is fine show to watch. But
like nothing happened. These guys don't looking for storylines.
This is not the show to watch.
No. No. Nothing happens. So here,
yeah.
But a show where things actually happen and they have good matches, NXT UK.
Yeah, we're going to get into this one. This one was an interesting episode. Starts off with Supernova Sessions. You got Trent Seven and Noam Dar shitting all over Trent Seven. And then Trent Seven starts getting in his face, which brings Shaw Samuels out. And Noam Dar is going to be fighting Tyler Bate 2 weeks from now at Prelude, which is, I'm guessing, NXT UK's event.
I think it's going to be like their takeover,
Yeah, and Trent Seven said he's going to be in Tyler Bate's corner as well. That's all right. This was a little good opening segment to set up a storyline. Sid Scala comes out and he confronts Ginny and Joseph Connors and he goes, "Ginny, you are banned from ringside," and Joseph Connors match against Jack Starr. Then we get a really good Walter Rampage video package. These guys are wrestling at Prelude, right? In 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. Walter. So I guess Walter's gonna wrestle in Florida. I know it's pre-taped, but I'm making a joke. Wrestle in Florida, then fly to England to immediately have another match.
Yeah, basically. Do you think Rampage is gonna win?
No, I think Walter is gonna win.
He's had this title for very.
What happens if Walter, if Tommaso Tabasco champion wins? Because Walter's match is on night one.
That's the thing. I don't think Tabasco champions win.
Yeah, but they can't telegraph that. They should have like the NXT UK announcers be like, "Look, if Tabasco champion wins, he'll beat England the next day."
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, maybe Tabasco champion did go to England. See, that's what I would do. I would have Tabasco champion win, and then have him lose to this guy.
And Rampage.
You already flew him to fucking England.
That's possible too. They might do that. But anyway, I'm more interested in Prelude than WrestleMania, actually.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun... It's going to be a fun week up until WrestleMania itself. Like,
Yeah. We go to the first match, Jack Starr versus Joseph Connors. Joseph Connors hits the straight jacket neck breaker for the win. Good to see Joseph Connors winning. Then we get... Did you like this match?
Nothing much but a squash. That's all it
was. Yeah.
Did you notice how there's fade-outs?
That means they're doing commercials.
Yeah, Peacock is going to have commercials, so.
Yeah. So, they're doing...
They're kind of awkward the way they edit them in. It's kind of very awkward. They got to, like, do a better job of it.
They do a pretty deadly video. They do a pretty deadly promo because now they're tag team champions. There's a really funny part where... Louis Hiley's talking about his mom and the guy goes, "Yeah, I never liked your mom." Right. And Hiley just like looks at him like, "What the fuck?" These guys are gonna be facing, I think, Kenny Williams and Amir Jordan next week. Mm-hmm. Then we get Jack Starr. He's walking in the back dejected because he just got his ass handed to him. And Piper Niven's like, "Hey, don't be sorry, cheer up. You know, we're going to get back on the horse together," or whatever. I cannot get over her voice. Her voice makes me laugh so much, dude.
Yeah, the voice doesn't fit. But I like the team of these two. So.
Yeah, I like that they might be building this thing where he might develop a crush for her or something, right?
Might be like, "Give me some of them titties."
Yeah. But, dude, her voice is so funny to me. I just can't get over it. We get Josh Morrell and Danny Jones versus Primate and T-Bone in match number two. And by the way, the T in T-Bone stands for transgender guys, just like T-Bar. And this duo looks way better than Primate and Wild Boar, because Primate and Wild Boar are really small. But at least T-Bone's a big guy. So you could always have a tag team with one big guy, one small guy. It looks better. This is a squash. Primate hits his headbutt on Danny Jones for the win. I like this pairing better, Primate and T-Bone.
This was a fun match. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Visually, they just look better. Mm-hmm. they show Kenny Williams and Amir Jordan training, and they're going to be ready for a tag team match. And Amir Jordan goes, yeah, after we win, we're going to be dancing. And Kenny's like, yeah, I'm not into the whole dancing thing. They're doing this slow thing where he's going to turn on Amir Jordan. We're going to go to match number three. This is where it starts getting real bad. Aaliyah James versus Isla Dawn. Isla Dawn's doing this Scarlet Witch gimmick. And they call her the White Witch, but she comes out in a red cape. Very weird.
She throws. You don't want to risk Disney soon. I'm calling her
Scarlet Witch. Isla Dawn has some terrible looking punches. Her punches look terrible, dude. They're like, they're bad. They're just bad looking punches. She hits her half and half suplex, which they call the corners for the win. The wrong person won this match. Aaliyah James, there's more upside. I do not see what they see in Isla Dawn at all. I don't think she has it.
I'm kind of with you.
Aaliyah James has it. She did a whole bunch of springboard moves in this match. I was like, this girl, she's got something. She just needs a character. But athletically, she's much better. After this, actually, we're going to get into it. But yeah, after this match, Isla Dawn's in the back and she's having some kind of orgasm. She's like, And then Kylie Rae comes and is like, hey, good to see you, saw you win. You should be in the fire next time we fight. And then the lights start flickering and Isla Dawn's all like mad at her. And I was like, dear God, they're doing it. They're ruining NXT UK. They're bringing this mystical crap into this show. Oh my, it's like, oh my God, dude. I fucking hated this dude.
Yeah, it was very weird. And it was like, guys, like, you don't need to. You think Vince McMahon, God damn it! What the fuck is this show I've been putting on?
Where's the mystical crap?
Any more mystical shit? Where?
This was the one show. The one show that was so good. And they're starting to ruin it with this. They're just bringing this.
Well, they already changed the name of that one guy.
Yeah, they changed Ben Carter's name. They're doing this mystical stuff. Ugh.
So is Isla Dawn going to fight Kaylee Ray at the pre-takeover? Whatever the fuck they're calling it.
God, I hope not. I don't think Isla Dawn has it.
I think they're getting the belt to Isla Dawn.
Oh, God, you might be right. They show Nina Samuels, who's still a servant. And she's like, all right, I'm done. And Zaya Brookside's like, next thing, you got one more thing. You got to clean the men's room. And it's the men's bathroom. It is the cleanest looking men's bathroom I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I have to clean it. Like, this was stupid too. I didn't care for it. And then we go to match number four. It's a no DQ match. Sam Gradwell versus Dragunov. And there is a point where Sam Gradwell is like begging off, right? He's going Ilya, I was wrong. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And Dragunov falls for it 3 fucking times in this match. He fell for it 3 different times, bro. I was like, is Dragunov supposed to be a moron? He came off like such an idiot in this match. He ends up hitting these shitty looking forearms where the ref stops it for Dragunov to win. But I did not really care for this match. This was by far the worst NXT UK episode I've seen since they relaunched. It wasn't that bad as certain shows, but it was the worst one I've seen so far.
It's pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. It was not.
It was very boring, and the stuff they did to try to make it like Kirk, it was more storyline oriented than it's been in a while, and it missed the mark. I get that. Look, they gotta try some different shit. They have nobody in the ring. Nobody's talking about this show. I thought when the final boss fought Kaylee Ray, it would get some buzz. Nobody on Twitter talks about the show. Consistently the best. Mm-hmm. You would think Meltzer would be ejaculating over this show, and he doesn't even acknowledge its existence. So I get they got to try different shit since nobody's really watching, but same time, it's like, you know, it is what it is. All right.
Yeah. Still was better than like SmackDown, you know, or other stuff. Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about Into the Fire, NWA Power.
NWA Power. Yeah. It's so funny. We've been covering NWA all this time. We only covered one episode of Power because it immediately went to Carny Land. And then after Carny Land, it went to Shockwave. And then it was just gone. But now we're back with NWA Power. I paid $5 for the subscription. So we're going to talk about this dumb fucking show. So let's go.
Yeah. They are back to their old entrance intro music, mm-hmm. Into the Fire, which I loved. Whole shots of their logo is everywhere, but the intro video is different now because they lost a lot of people.
Yeah, and they gained a lot of garbage.
Yeah. Yes. This is the order of the people that they showed in the intro. You get Nick Aldis, Thunder Rosa, then Trevor Murdoch. I was like, Trevor Murdoch and Camille. That's it. Those four. Mm-hmm. The new commentary team is Joe Galli, Tim Storm, and Velvet Sky, who's got an NPR voice. I'm like,
dude, she's horrible.
Dude, this is not radio. You need to get her out. You need to get her the fuck out.
Dude, she's hard. What is with all these former TNA girls becoming color commentators? It's like, dude.
Where is Veda Scott?
I don't know. Did she like not? Did she do something to piss? Dude, how is everyone getting signed by AEW but not her?
Maybe, okay, this show is filmed in Georgia, so maybe she's like, I'm not going to Georgia or something like that. Maybe, I have no idea, but...
Dude, what did she do to everyone that she's not being used by anyone and she's so fucking good? I don't understand.
Exactly. I don't understand how she's not being
used. There's something we don't know.
Yeah.
Or either she didn't fuck or she did fuck the wrong person. So.
Yeah. Velvet Sky, I can hardly hear her.
No.
On this show, I could hardly hear her. She's got like no, she is not thrilled about anything on this show.
No. Well, I wouldn't be either because this was not a good return episode.
It was all right. It begins with Kyle interviewing Strictly Business, and Tom Latimer is a terrible promo. He is terrible. His whole thing is just yelling. And the only thing that saved this segment was actually Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis was good in this. He goes, we're back. And he goes, he does this thing where he like subtly like shits on fucking Kyle Davis. And he talks about how Fight TV bought them and stuff. He was good. Nick Aldis is always a good promo. I'll always give him that. He's good. He saved this little talking segment.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go to match number one. It is Camille versus Alex Gracia. Alex Gracia, who's been seen on AEW Dark, I believe she's dating Scorpio Sky. She gets fucked up in this match. Like Camille beats the crap out of her. Her nose is bleeding. Camille hits her with two spears for the win. Camille looked like a beast in this match.
Camille looked great. I think right now the big star in the company besides Thunder Rosa is Camille. I think the men, they don't really have a guy that I think is. Camille is just such a great presence. I really like her. I really like Camille. I thought this was a good match. Good
Nick squash. Aldis is just like a champion with no challengers. It's not exciting. Even though we just saw Thunder Rosa versus Camille, I would be okay watching them fight again.
Yeah.
That's how good she came off in this. The Pope is getting interviewed. He's doing his best Dusty Rhodes impression. It's terrible. I hate it. Austin Idol comes out and he's got Tyrus with him. It's terrible, terrible talking segment. It's like an ancient man talking with us. And he's giving like, some people will be like, that's a good wrestling promo. It's like, yeah, maybe in the 80s, but it's not the 80s anymore. That's not a good promo. You know, I didn't think it was a good promo. Did you?
No, I didn't think it was a good promo.
Yeah. We're going to go to match number two. It is Fred Rosser, formerly known as Darren Young in WWE, who now wrestling in New Japan in the US LA Dojo, versus Marche Rocket versus Matt Cross. Rosser hits the gut check on Cross for the win. He is now the number one contender against Pope's television title. This was okay. I think this was a good match. I liked it. It was fine.
Yeah, sorry. Ray DeVito is upstairs, but I got nervous. I heard walking and didn't realize it was him, so we're good.
Oh, he's upstairs?
Yeah. He just came up. Yeah, he's staying. He has to get his medicine tomorrow morning, so.
Okay.
I just got nervous for a second because I heard walking, and I'm like, that's not Ray DeVito. Something's about to fucking go down. Live! Anything can happen here in the WWE, you know?
Then we get Mae Valentine interviewing Slice Boogie. And, man, Slice Boogie is the poor man's Eddie Kingston. That's all.
Slice Boogie is the poor man's everything. Garbage.
Yeah. This was just like, I was like, I can totally see what they're trying to do. I think they saw Eddie, because here's the thing. Eddie Kingston used to be on NWA Power. He was. Mm-hmm. And he got signed over to AEW, and Eddie Kingston is one of the best things on AEW right now. And yeah. I think they're just trying to recreate that. And I think they can get it with Slice Boogie, but it's just not.
Dude, beyond Slice Boogie was this fucking, what's her name again? Chrissy, what? The answer. The interview.
Oh, May Valentine.
May Valentine. Dude, she sounds like someone, she's like an alien who, for the first time, heard like the English, heard any type of. Like, today we are like, dude, how are you allowing this woman to record? Like, I would have been like, after the first, I was like, you can't do this. Like, dude, she reminds you you're watching a show with no budget.
Yeah,
because it's like, hello, you okay, so Slice Boogie, what are you gonna do?
You know, that's why when they were doing those like May's Diary segments, that's why they worked so well. It's because they were like, we just need you to be you. We need you to be this foreign girl who is trying to get famous in America. Like, and just trying to, like, all you want to do is be, like, famous.
Yeah, and this stuff is awful.
No, this is awful.
They've got to get her off this. She's fucking bad.
Dude, she should not be an interviewer at all. You know what? You could use, besides this, a valet. Make her a valet.
Yes, just have her stand there and look pretty.
Yeah, just fucking your valet.
Horrible. She's horrible.
Trip somebody up every once in a while. That's all you gotta do. Yeah. That's all you gotta do. Yeah, it's awful. Match number three. Is it Mike Parro? I forget. I think it's Mike Parro versus Jordan Clearwell. Parro, who's been wrestling on MLW, he squashes Jordan Clearwater, hits him with an inverted pile driver for the win. I think the wrong person won in this as well.
Why is that?
Because I think there's more upside with Jordan Clearwater than there is Mike Parro.
You're probably right.
Yeah. But I think maybe Jordan's not signing or something like that. Maybe. I have no idea. But yeah, it just was like, yeah, this was the wrong person. I was like, you're going in the wrong direction, guys. Mike Parro's older too. Jordan Clearwater's like young. There's like a lot of upside to him, you know? But mm-hmm. Because if you build him right, he would be a great, like, it would be a great matchup between him versus Nick Aldis. Like,
the younger version. They are obsessed with building, like, bigger guys right now, I can tell. Like, and it's like they want, like, a male Camille, and it's like, these guys, like, none of these guys are hitting the bigger dudes.
No. What I would be doing right now, if I was doing NWA, I would be building this Jordan Clearwater guy. And he's just like, and have Nick Aldis is like fearing this kid because he's like, he knows he's like the younger version of him. And he's going to like try to use his stable to stop this guy, try to injure him and whatever. And then just built this fucking huge event where it's finally like one-on-one, you know, but I don't know. That's what I would do, but mm-hmm. Hey, whatever. I'm not Billy Corgan. Then we get Thunder Rosa, who comes out with straight hair. Her hair looks great. I love Thunder Rosa at this point. And she's getting interviewed. Melina comes out. Melina's like crying.
Oh, this was so bad.
And the Thunder Rosa, I don't think she 100% wants to be in NWA.
But I think 1,000% she doesn't want to be in NWA.
What'd you say?
I think it's 1,000% she doesn't want to be in NWA.
Yeah. But unlike Brian Pillman Jr., who's like under contract with MLW, and he's like, can you give me my release? Can you give me my release? Thunder Rosa's like, if I'm under contract with you up to a certain time, I'm still going to give you my 100%, you know? And she's making the best, she's doing the best she can with what she has to do. But I think what they're going to do is they're like, because you're leaving or you don't want to be here, we're going to make you a heel. So this was like slow heel turn for Thunder Rosa that I saw.
This was kind of like a waste of Thunder Rosa. I don't really want to see a feud with her and old ass Melina. But we'll see. I mean, I think they should make Thunder Rosa their top face, but it is mm-hmm. what it is.
Yeah, I think I would too, but we go to match number four. It's Pope, Aaron Stevens and his tag team partner, who's their tag team champions, J.R. Kratos versus Nick Aldis, Thomas Latimer, and Chris Adonis, formerly known as Chris Masters. There's a point in this match where Velvet Sky continues to suck at her job by calling Thomas Latimer Bram. Like, you fucking idiot. And the finish comes when J.R. Kratos is trying to use a chair to hit Chris Adonis, but Aaron Stevens pulls the chair away because he's changed man ever since question mark guy. Mm-hmm. He now wants to be in a straight and narrow. J.R. Kratos is like, what? He's distracted, and this allows Chris Adonis to roll him up. And afterwards, Chris Adonis is like arguing with Aaron Stevens. This was okay. It was an all right match.
Oh shit, sorry. It was okay. It was I feel like they're like breaking up Kratos and Aaron Stevens. I guess, you know, it is what it is. This was all right. I mean, it just was like kind of a very boring return show. Mm-hmm. It didn't really make me feel like, oh God, like this is great. Like, you know, fucking Darren Young and Tyrus and all these fucking loser guys. It just didn't.
Darren Young's, they're using him a lot in Japan too.
Well, they're stupid for that too. They're fucking dumb for that guy. That guy stinks. This is the thing, and I think these companies need to realize that. I think AEW needs to realize this impact. I think right now, wrestling fans, what I want when I watch this show is I want people like Thunder Rosa and Camille. Like, I am now tuning into NWA because of Camille, because she's attractive, and I've never seen her before, and she's interesting, you know? But when a Tyrus waddles out, or fucking... Shut up, guys. Tyrus waddles out, or fucking Darren Young, it's like, what am I doing? Like, this is like loser squad. People want to see new in these companies. WCW and NWA did the thing. I mean, WCW and TNA did the thing where they brought out the WWF guy that failed. And there's some WWF guys you can use. But you know those WWF guys are? That's Eric Redbeard. That's fucking Andrade. It's not Christian. It's not Big Show. And you can be like, oh, Big Show, do this, Big Show. I don't give a fuck. Like, mm-hmm. people want new. People mm-hmm. want, and people are into Britt Baker. They're into Thunder Rosa. They're into fucking Darby Allin. I don't need Lance Archer feuding with a 62-year-old Sting in 2021. That's not what I need or want. And I'm not saying you can't have Sting walk out, but Sting's now on the show every fucking week. And the same thing with this dumb fucking show where you have Chris Adonis and you have all these people that shouldn't be in featured roles. And all it reminds you of is I'm watching a loser. I put money into a bunch of losers. Mm-hmm. I'm investing in losers right now.
If you could take like a few people and you could just pick them out and put them in your own wrestling company, the people I would pick, and I have like a limited budget. Like if you have a limited budget, who would you steal from this company? It would be my first pick, Thunder Rosa, mm-hmm. then Camille, then Jordan Clearwater, and then Nick Aldis. And I would not pick anybody else up.
And they're not, none of them were in WWE. None of them.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And there are WWE cast-offs that can be used. Like Neville was a great one.
But you got a point. None of these guys are it. None of these guys are it.
People, Cody Rhodes is a good one because he was underused. Mm-hmm. Well, even though Cody Rhodes now is fucking garbage. With it now, you see they're copying the Miz and Mrs. Rhodes to the top.
You know what I was saying? Whatever keeps her away from AEW is fine.
She's fucking, dude. She comes across so likable in the little footage they showed of her. She makes Stephanie McMahon look like a charming person. Yeah. Anyway, but my point is like, Tony Khan should have been like fucking racing to meet Andrade Monday night, like racing. Like, I'll meet you where the fuck you want. Like, you need to be on a Dynamite. Those are the guys that are gonna move the needle. Because
don't count that out yet. We don't know if
it should have happened. It should have happened on Wednesday. Like the moment Lex Flexi Lexi was free, Bischoff had him on fucking Nitro. Andrade should have Andrade should have been on AEW. You don't give Ring of Honor or Impact or anyone a second to sign him. You fucking have him right there. Because that guy was underused. And he's going to be a difference maker. Andrade's a difference maker. Fucking, why isn't Eric Rowan signed? That guy...
I don't see any upside with Eric Rowan.
I see more of an upside than with Christian and Big Show. I'm sorry. Like, he looked great.
Yeah, more than Big Show and Christian, but I don't see any upside with him still.
But these are guys, what I'm saying is, like, when WWE signed over WCW guys and made them their top stars, which say Goldust was a top star there, Austin was a top star, Cactus Jack, they were all mid-carders. They were guys who were not used properly in WCW. So the guys who were used like shit in 93 WCW were the top stars in 1998.
Yeah.
And that's what they should be doing. They should be going after people that were used like garbage and signing them or signing completely unknowns. You know, look at Ricky Starks, how he's grown into the role. Look at Jungle Boy. Look at Orange Cassidy. Those are the characters people want to see. Same thing with NWA. People liked the question mark. People liked fucking Thunder Rosa. People liked Camille. No one gives a fuck. No one gives a fuck about fucking these WWE losers. Like, Darren Young was in the company way too long. He was a fucking loser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what it is? It's like, if you were in the company for way too long, and it wasn't like he wasn't given a prominent role. He was.
But he wasn't good. He
just didn't excel. Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, these companies need to focus on new. The recognizable names, like, I think they think, well, if we have, dude, no one gives, like, no one. Okay, it's different. Like, John Cena goes, I want to sign with NWA. That's different, right? Or Randy Orton with AEW. Because you can actually market those guys. Like, those guys will change things. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Darren Young or Christian, who gives a fuck? Like, you're not going to get any advertisers. You're not going to get any book or movie deals or any type of deals because Christian's there
If you were signing Tyrus, because he's a recognizable name, he's not even a recognizable name because that wasn't even the name they used in WB. But if you're going to use him as a recognizable person, you know what they should have done? He should have put over fucking JR Kratos.
Yeah.
Back for the attack. That's what he should have done instead of winning. It was just ridiculous.
Dude, if you think you're signing recognizable names, you might as well just have Adam Bomb be the commissioner. Like, that's good at the same fucking... Or Duke the Dumpster Drossy as, like, the... That's the same fucking level of fame that Tyrus fucking has. Like, nobody cares about this guy anymore, dude. Like, sorry. I'm not saying sorry to you, but, like...
Yeah, I don't know. I know what you mean.
People want... You can only see, like... I would say to people, like, I would say, like, oh, there's this hot blonde and she fucking has these killer moves. You can only see her in NWA. People would tune in and be like, oh, look at Camille. She's hot. She wrestles good. She's a fucking powerhouse. No one can give a fuck. Melina waddles out. Looks like she's 97 years old. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but it is what it is.
If you were going to hire somebody who was recently, one of the recent firings from WWE, besides Andrade, who else would it be?
No Way Jose, I would repackage him.
Actually, that's a very good one because he doesn't have that stink yet.
No, he doesn't have the stink, and he's got a great look.
Uh-huh.
Every now and then, he would walk out
very,
on Raw.
That's a very good pick.
I would, because he changed his look a few times, and he would walk out. No, he was on some fucking TikTok video with R-Truth. It's like, who the fuck is this guy? And I realized, because he did different hairstyle, I'm like, oh, shit, No Way Jose, he's huge. Like, he's huge. I don't understand how that guy didn't get anywhere. He's fucking massive.
Yeah.
So, like, he's a guy, Eric Redbeard, I would try to convince. And I would change, that's the cat. I would change something around about him. No Way Jose, Eric Redbeard, who else got fired from there? I thought Rusev was a good idea until they fucking ruined him.
Who?
Rusev was a good idea until they ruined him.
Oh.
I think Brian Myers and Matt Cardona, the damage is done. Let him just go.
Yeah.
Fucking fade away.
Mike Bennett, he's done.
If Curtis Axel changes his look radically, I'd bring him in.
Yeah.
He'd have to change his look completely, and we'd have to give him a character. I would give him a character. I would do, I'm not saying like you'd make him Goldust, but you know how like they took Dustin Rhodes and made him unrecognizable in WWE as Goldust? I would do that with Curtis Axel because I know he can do it in the ring.
Yeah.
But he needs a different character. Yeah. But like, yeah, dude, it's all about new, and I think people want new. People want new. And AEW's missing the point. I don't need to see Christian versus Frankie Kazarian. I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know you hate women, but I don't need to see it.
Yeah, no, you're right. All right.
All right, guys. We will be back next week. Long pod. You know, we only did one this week, so we had a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah. Monday?
Yeah, possibly. All right, we'll see you then. Bye, guys.
All right.